TIC Productions presents India's premier Bollywood podcast. You're listening to Bollywood Weekly. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. I have with me Arjun Sinha.
Hi.
Back again. What was the last episode you did? I don't even remember.
It was quite a while ago. I think it was... Was it Key and Ka? Or there was another one after that maybe?
Yeah, possibly. There is also the Mythical Awards, which I've yet to see the light of day.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that was just a dream. Doesn't seem like...
Did we actually film them? Like was this just an epic troll? No, but for listeners who are waiting, I don't think anyone is waiting anymore. They've given up. But our editor has... I don't has run out of excuses, so now I'm just waiting.
Yeah, it's about them.
Okay, but anyway, today's podcast is about Trapped, starring Rajkumar Rao. And that's about it, basically. The entire movie is pretty much Rajkumar Rao in a room. So I'm not sure how much we can think of to say. But what did you think?
I liked it. I mean, it was pretty well shot. I think, obviously, like you said, it's an unusual type of movie. So it sort of had to rely, basically, on Rajkumar Rao, pretty much. I mean, I thought it was well done, but... Maybe in parts they could have sort of cut it short a bit. You know, it didn't have to stretch to 2 hours. But I think that's sort of the danger that comes with having such a sort of format for a movie.
Yeah, I think so. When the trailer came out as well, Mehak was on the podcast and she was like, oh, I thought this was a short film, not an actual full-length movie.
Yeah.
And we had that discussion because even the way it's filmed, it seems like that.
Mm.
I thought actually though, so in India at least, this was unusual in that it was a movie which was distributed without any interval to keep the suspense and to keep the thing. And it's pretty tight. I mean, it's 1 hour, 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, despite that runtime, it actually did feel like a short film watching it, which I think is testament to the fact that once the actual situation happens where he gets trapped, the whole thing feels very fast-paced and is done, you know, it just bounces from one situation to the next. It shows different aspects as well. It first shows him of like trying to be fairly rational and logical and trying to figure out ways to open the door, and then he calls people, his phone runs out of battery, etc. And then he gradually gets like more and more desperate. So I thought the timing pacing felt good. I honestly thought the initial backstory was a bit unnecessary. Didn't really add much.
Yeah, I mean, I think I sort of agree with that. Even at the end, I thought they really didn't need to get into, you know, the conclusion of the backstory that they had initially. Essentially, him getting trapped in the room was probably the best. I mean, you know, that's really what the movie is about. I mean, less so about everything else that's going on, although it does feed into how he's feeling in some situations and everything. I think what they could have done, which they sort of did at some point, was there was a scene where, you know, he had to make a decision based on, I mean, you know, the sort of the reasons why some decisions were hard for him and not. So there's a scene where, you know, he has to contemplate, you know, eating insects or something like that just to survive. And then, and then it shows, okay, you know, he has like, there's a sort of a flashback where it's sort of why he's a vegetarian and everything and how he doesn't harming animals.
I liked that,
Yeah, so they did that, I think, basically once, though. I thought maybe there was the potential to maybe add some depth to it. But, I mean, despite that, you know, it didn't really seem forced or anything. It didn't seem like, you know, he was acting irrationally or acting... as someone in that situation would not, you know.
No, but I think the reason the story kind of works is that, yeah, you can you can kind of speculate a little bit about how this could have happened or this seems a little unrealistic. Yeah. Like how, like if he moved into this place, how did he not tell anyone he's moving, and wouldn't someone have known to come find him, etc. But beyond a couple of small things like that, this is a pretty plausible situation.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons it feels so distinct. Because like in Bombay is notorious that finding an apartment is really difficult, and they show a bit of that. And it is also notorious for, you know, these shady people who try to scam you or try to sell you stuff in properties which have disputes running and court cases and all of that, you know. And like Rajkumar Rao is like just really naive. And I guess they wanted to show that.
And desperate, the desperation.
I guess they put that backstory to show the desperation. But in itself, it was like flimsy. It's not as though if he moved to this apartment, suddenly his Nuri's whatever arranged marriage would stop or whatever. And and again, once he finds the place, he doesn't like call her to bring her to the place or to show her. And like, there's nothing. It's just very random. So that's why I felt they could have either, you know, done a little more with the backstory like they did with that chicken scene flashback. Or just made it more in terms of about how his living situation is so pathetic to start with, and then he decides in it to find an apartment, and then this is what happens to him. Although, I mean, again, all of this is like 10% of the movie. So
exactly.
In terms of... So you mentioned the movie has to rely on Rajkumar Rao a lot. I thought he delivered pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, they portrayed his progression really well. So initially, he's thinking a bit rationally. He goes through all the steps. And then as time passes, obviously, he runs out of water, runs out of food and everything. And he slowly starts making questionable decisions. And I think there's a lot of ups and downs in the movie. So there's a lot of where he gets some hope and then he sort of goes all in and tries something and then it doesn't pan out. There's a scene where he decides to set up a fire to alert people outside, but then he realizes that he can't really control it and then he has to immediately
put it out.
And like the way the way they've done that, basically showing the consequences of his actions and then sort of immediately resolving them as well, I think that contributed to the pacing as well.
And in terms of his performance, like he is just, he like perfectly kind of portrays each of these different stages, right? And even from the start, as this like very shy, introverted guy, you totally believe that, you know, that this is a real person. And like, I'm sure we all know people like this in real life. And then even the way he goes through that, you know, goes through this whole situation, it's very easy in a film like this to make it over the top and unrealistic. But like, it was actually interesting, even though a situation is so kind of desperate, there were multiple points in the movie that the entire theater was actually like chuckling and laughing just because of his reactions and like how he kind of deals with stuff, right? Like when that rat comes and he's just like completely grossed out, or when again that fire scene when the fire comes and he like starts celebrating and jumping around, like all of those like very small light moments were just done so nicely and so well. And I thought, you know, both the direction and the kind of conceptualization of those moments is phenomenal. And I mean, he is the perfect guy to get this across.
Yeah, I think I've watched in a few in a few movies. He had, there was one where he was a supporting actor where he was sort of somebody who was supposed to be married to him. Queen, I think.
Queen, yeah.
Right? Queen. And like, he's really good at the sort of subtle acting, I think. That not over-the-top acting, very...
balanced.
Balanced, restrained, realistic in some sense. And like, you can tell at the beginning itself that he's a smart, rational thinking guy. And then what this movie serves to do is, over the course of, you know, his desperation, that he transforms into, I guess, something where he becomes more and more desperate. He starts in the middle hallucinating as well. Yeah. So,
but that's the thing, the transformation is very real. It's not like he suddenly becomes Salman Khan with like, and rips things open, right? He or and he also doesn't become completely deranged. Like, He obviously has these desperate moments where he starts hallucinating about like Bear Grylls or whoever that person was. But
Discount Bear Grylls.
That. But there's also, I mean, even through all of that, he's still trying to figure out ways, trying to make the most out of his situation, which I thought was good.
And I think also like with this kind of thing, I guess most audiences would put themselves in the mind, which I did also, in his mind as to what would I do in a situation like this. And I mean, for the most part, it was okay. You know, maybe I would do certain things differently, but I can totally see why he would become like this after a few days of being trapped. And I think that's really testament to his acting about, you know, how he's able to sort of go through the motions in his head and then portray them as well. I think that's, and like I said earlier, it's basically the film has to rely on his acting because he's pretty much the only subject for
the entire
pretty much.
I think we also have to spend a couple minutes talking about the cinematography, which was really good. Like there were a lot of close-ups and zooms which kind of really kind of make you feel that kind of claustrophobia and, you know, that feeling of being trapped. And also like the way he shows you know, different sides of Bombay. Like when he's standing and looking at the skyline and there's like so much activity and there's so much happening, but he's still at the top of this tower, just completely alone.
Despite
being surrounded in such a big city. And I think that's a feeling that probably a lot of people in Bombay feel. So that kind of one level, you know, meta messaging there was also quite good.
I about the cinematography. Like you said, there's two main things. Basically, the two subjects are the room and Bombay outside, right? It's basically about the relationship between essentially his situation and the outside situation, right? And the whole point of the movie is to sort of make them, like his point is that he wants to connect with somebody outside, right? Exactly. And I think a great sort of technique that that was used here is basically, a lot of the times, there's just outside shots of Bombay, just like for 5 seconds, 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And literally just people passing by, just the regular hustle bustle, nothing. If there's no soundtrack also, it's just like, you know, horns and cars and everything. And it just goes to show how, you know, the whole city of Bombay is essentially, like you said, like moving along around him. And even though in the close-up shots inside the room itself, he is very alone, very like claustrophobic, but then on the outside
he's just one tiny dot, right?
Exactly. It just serves to show like the contrast between what it's like on the inside and what it's like on the outside. And a lot of the times, what essentially the feeling that I got was with the cinematography is when it's in the room and the close-ups and there's also a shaky cam and, you know, you feel like you're with him in there.
Yeah.
Everything seems so like large and everything.
Yeah.
Right. The context of,
especially the rat.
You know, there's the rat. There's also things like, you know, he cuts himself and he starts using his blood to write messages on cardboard. And then when he throws it out, it's like completely pointless because it disappears into like essentially the vastness of Bombay. So, like you said, I think the juxtaposition of having the closeness of the room and the claustrophobia of the room with just the uncaring sort of outside world that that doesn't really pay attention to him, I think that was well executed in the because of the cinematography, I think, and the editing.
Totally agree. That's about it. Anything else that you want to talk about for Trapped?
I mean, just like I said, it's a very unusual concept, I think, in Hindi cinema as well. In
the survival thriller type.
The survival thriller, and also this whole thing about literally just one person. You know, you have a lot of Indian cinema has a lot of exposition and a lot of people explaining to others how to move the plot forward. Here, there's like obviously very little dialogue to move it forward, which I personally like. I like when there's like a, it's sort of visual cues rather than, you know, people trying to explain the situation, because that again is testament to how Rajkumar Rao portrays it in terms of his emotions and what he's thinking. It's sort of like space movie, like Gravity or like The Martian. You know, it's a very, it had that sort of feeling, but obviously not the same, not quite the same context. And I wouldn't say it's as good as Gravity, but I think it's a good step, or like a good it's a good progression, I think, for, and hopefully people might start to explore something like this. Maybe not like a survival thriller, but just something where it relies a lot on the acting of the lead actors and portraying little information and stuff.
And I mean, I think, you know, the makers of this film are renowned for trying out new things and doing different things like this. I mean, Vikramaditya Motwane made Udaan, which was also a very different film by Indian standards. Anurag Kashyap, of course, is like literally just does what no one else wants to do.
Pretty much.
But and it's interesting, you know, I think the more and more people, there's more and more scope for people to try things like this and do things like this because of how the distribution has changed. So even a film like Haramkor, which we were also supposed to do a podcast on, which never materialized, that movie came out in theater. First of all, it was made under a crore, came out in theaters, and then was on Netflix like 2 weeks later. And when you make a film for such a small budget like this, I'm sure the budget for this is also minuscule, because there's
It's
literally
probably
basically like one and a half locations, and like Rajkumar Rao pretty much. That's more or and like whatever the equipment, that's more or less the entire budget, very little marketing and thing. So whatever they do in theaters, they can kind of make up that money, because they know that is not going to be something that a lot of people are going to watch in a theater. Although I'm glad to say the theater I was in was more or less like three quarters plus full. But then it goes, Trapped is also going to, I think, be on Netflix within a couple of weeks, like very soon. And anyway, now movies don't stay in theaters for more than 2 weeks. And so this whole, for independent movies and for small budget movies, the whole online distribution space makes it much more kind of feasible to make movies like this.
Yeah, it's good. I think the next step is also now recognizing it in
Awards.
awards, or giving it some recognition at least, so that I think one good thing that the Oscars does for Hollywood is that it does recognize smaller budget or independent films that may not, so there is an avenue for them to get some marketing or get some recognition. But I agree with your with what you said about the distribution network. I mean, if you can get it into more screens without having the wide release or like the costs that go with it, I think that will encourage a lot more independent filmmaking like this. And
And I mean, the hope, obviously, because the experience is very different in a big screen, the hope is that as internet penetration increases, as more and more people start watching things on Netflix and on other platforms, they then grow, develop an appreciation for this kind of cinema, and therefore in the future are more likely to actually spend that 200 rupees, 250 rupees to go to a theater and watch it. Yeah, so that was Trapped. The other release of this week was Machine, starring Kiara Advani and Mustafa. I don't think you haven't watched Machine either, right? I haven't watched Machine.
I have not watched Machine.
The reviews have been kind of, and the general response has been just unanimously terrible, which makes me wonder, you know, why movies like this get made. Because, you know, people say it doesn't matter, the movie is bad, it's just a launch pad. But if you want a launch pad, don't you want it to have some sort of something that people can actually build on, and you know?
I think the same thing happened to Harman Bavija, right? He had the Love Story 2050, which was another launch pad which failed, I think. I mean, I would say when you're making a film, it's probably very difficult to Of course, I don't really have any experience in Bollywood, but my guess is when you're making a film, especially when it's not, when it's for a launch or something where maybe you don't pay attention to the story and everything, it's probably very difficult to figure out just how bad it is while filming it. But yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Machine yet, but I also read some of the reviews, and sometimes I guess it's probably better to just not do that.
Yeah,
Not
but I mean,
have.
just reading some of the reviews, this Kiara Advani Mustafa Sara is a cinematic disaster. Stale cocktail of Abbas Mastan's thrillers. Worst film of Abbas Mastan's career, and this is in the Hindustan Times, and it actually gave it 0 stars out of
Wow.
4 or 5 or whatever. So I mean, I honestly like having now spent some time in the digital media space, you actually figure out when you're making it. You have an idea when you're making it, or when you see the edit, at least whether this thing
Yeah,
is
okay.
like good or not. And then sometimes it might surprise you by doing a lot better than you expect, but like more or less you kind of know you have something that's like off. Obviously now if you've invested that much into it, you still end up releasing it, which is probably what happens. But yeah, I feel like for someone like Abbas Mastan, for whatever criticism they may face, like they have a certain formula and a certain thing that they do, and they do it well and they've got success with it. But this just feels like either, audiences have moved on and they are still stuck in their own ways, and so they haven't adapted, or they've just done a bad job, which I don't know which is worse, but either way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the it's sort of evolving now where it's less about escapism and everything, which used to be the reason why a lot of these films were made, these sort of high budget.
It's more about
I think
compelling
people are
stories.
exactly. I think it's the which is what I prefer, so I would say it's a good thing. But yeah, it's yeah. Is it doing well though at the box
It's not
office?
doing well at all.
Okay, so that's, I mean, I guess that is the metric that they use,
Yeah.
so.
And I mean, even like it distrib they didn't even get a wide release. I mean, sorry, Badrinath
But
Ki
not,
Dulhania is still in more screens than all of these movies combined. Trapped, Machine, a couple of other smaller movies released, Mantra. People know that like no one really cares, that everyone's gonna go to watch Humpty, especially in the interiors. So but yeah, anyway. Moving on to trailers. Two main trailers to talk about. The first one was Begum Jaan, which has pretty much from what I've seen gotten one of two responses. Either, oh my god, Vidya Balan is amazing, this is awesome. Or people who have seen the Bengali being like, the Bengali one is way better, this is like over dramatic and overacted. So having not seen the Bengali one, I actually liked it, but what did you think?
I've also not seen the Bengali one, but yeah, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was, I guess it's a good setup. It seems like it's going to be a good story. I think there's not, or at least in the recent past, there's not much, there's not too many stories about that era in India. The other thing I'm excited about is that I guess this has like a large female cast. So I mean, I hope, you know, I hope that they have strong female characters in this film. The I liked it to some extent, but I mean I didn't I wasn't sort of blown away by it. I think yeah, it was a bit over dramatic in some places, but I'll probably watch this film, so.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a risk of the overdramatic coming in, given it's a Vishesh film, and the last movie Vidya did with them was Hamari Adhuri Kahani, which was just a complete disaster. So let's hope it doesn't go into that direction. The other trailer, of course, is the long-awaited conclusion of Bahubali. You haven't seen the first one, so I don't know how impressive or important the trailer was to you, but what did you think, regardless?
I haven't seen the first one. I vaguely know what the first one is about and everything, but I mean, it was interesting. obviously it's a really big budget film. It's like it's supposed to be larger than life and everything. I don't think the trailer sort of set anything up in terms of, I mean, obviously I haven't seen the first film, but it seemed like it was just a bunch of action shots that were cut together. So I think that's probably what they're going for in terms of the focus of this film. Some scenes seemed pretty impressive, but I guess maybe I'm too spoiled by the Hollywood CGI, but in terms of the trailer as a whole, I thought it was fine. It was I suppose if I had watched the first film, I would want to watch this based off this trailer.
Yeah, I agree with your point on the it doesn't say anything about the plot or any of that. It's just a bunch of action scenes. Which I think for a trailer like this, it has enough buzz, it has enough the plot, and in a way, it's good that they don't give away anything because the plot of the first one was towards the second half at least became really compelling, and it left on that obvious cliffhanger of why did Katappa kill Bahubali. So all I got from the second half is that we're going to, from the trailer of this second half is that we're going to go more into the past and that backstory to figure out why this happened. And then obviously the tale is going to reach its conclusion. So yeah, I'm excited regardless of the trailer. I don't think the trailer helped me or anything, but.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where if you're a fan of it, you're probably gonna watch it anyway. So, as yeah.
Interesting point though. You normally have a lot of cases where books are turned into movies, but after the success of Bahubali, the movie, it's actually being turned into a series of books.
Yeah, it makes sense, I guess, for them because of the epic nature of it. Yeah.
Yeah, which is nice. Anand Neelakantan is the guy who's writing these books. And the first book is out, although it apparently contains a spoiler of why Kattappa did kill Bahubali. So don't buy the book just yet if you want to watch the movie and don't want spoilers. Kind of defeated the purpose. But because the book is chronological, whereas this is in both time. So yeah. That's it from me. Anything that caught your eye?
No, I just want to say I enjoyed Trapped. I did look at my watch once.
Your phone.
My no, I have a watch now
Oh, well done.
for
Because the last
this,
time you
but
would just look at your watch and there was nothing there.
I
So.
yeah, that's true actually. I looked at my watch, but there was nothing there, so I guess that counts as zero. I don't know. I didn't look at my phone, so.
That's good. One final thing. I mean, we listeners of the podcast, we obviously encourage you to get in touch with comments, tell us your thoughts, etc. In addition to the podcast, I'm also going to be publishing basically a weekly summary of the podcast in article format on Filtercopy for the foreseeable future. So you have another place to get involved in comments and stuff there. And depending on the level of response, I will start to feature some of those comments on the podcast as well and build discussion points of that. Cool. Thank you, Sinha, for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.